May be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is taken from Matthew's chapters 10 and 9, especially these words. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, the greatest football team that I was ever a part of was in the eighth grade, just before I moved to Virginia, in Central Junior High in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. And it certainly had nothing to do with the equipment we have, because Central Junior High was the poor school, okay? My brother went to the rich school. We were at the poor school. And in the poor school, the equipment we had for the football team was from the late 50s and early 60s. And so when we prepared for a game, we would put on, we had to strap our equipment onto our bodies first and then put the uniform on, uniform pants and uniform. I've never even seen something like that, okay? And the worst thing of all was our helmets. Okay, look at the helmets from the NFL or something in the early 60s, because they got like ears on them, okay? Just kind of ears are sticking out, and we had one crossbar across our face, like we're kickers, okay? It was embarrassing. And so we go to play these football games, and we get off the bus looking like this, and literally the other team would start laughing at us. We look so ridiculous. They all had form-fitting uniforms, okay? Top-of-the-line equipment. They had tearaway jerseys. They had helmets with all kinds of bars in the front, the cool kind. And they would laugh at us until about the second quarter. Then they'd stop laughing, okay? Laughter was over. Because when we put our equipment on, okay, we put on one extra piece of equipment they didn't have. And that was a big chip on our shoulder, okay? Because we didn't like looking like this, and we didn't like getting laughed at. In fact, I think the closest game was 42-3. And we just felt sorry for that team. We just crushed everybody. All right. Now, we were prepared for every game we played for a very simple reason, and it had nothing to do with what we were wearing, trust me. We were prepared because we knew who we were. Now, in this text, Jesus is sending his disciples off on their first real targeted mission journey, and he's preparing them for this journey. And you can see he's not just preparing them for this specific missionary journey. When you read through the rest of chapter 10, you see that he's preparing them for their journey the rest of their lives. Okay, after he ascends into heaven, then they become apostles. When he talks about going into people's homes, wiping the dust off your feet and all that stuff, he's talking about this missionary journey. But when he's talking about being arrested and flogged and dragged before courts and governors, he's talking about the rest of their life. And he says, "I'm going to prepare you for all of this." And so at first he does, it seems like it, right? He gives some really good advice. He sends them out two by two. Now that's good. That prepares them. It would be horrible if he sent them out alone. And I really think that the order that the disciples are listed here is the order of pairs in which he sent them out. Makes sense, right? Peter and Andrew, brothers, they go out. James and John, brothers, they go out. And then two, and then two, and two, until you finally get to the last guy. He draws the short straw. He gets to go with Judas Iscariot. I'm sure he kept his wallet in his front pocket, okay, hanging around Judas, all right? But anyway, that's how they go out. Now, that's good advice, and that prepares them. They're going out together. Now, everything else he says doesn't sound like it's preparing them for any success at all. Don't bring any money. You can't accept any money. Don't bring any food, any bag, any stick, no extra clothes, no extra shoes, nothing. On top of that, you have to completely rely on these complete strangers to take you in. And just to top everything off, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Now you could say, okay, well, Jesus prepared them by giving them these special powers, right? The power to cast out demons, the power to heal. That's true. But if you think about these powers, they're really not targeted at helping them on their journey. They're targeted at helping other people. But Jesus says, in all of this, now you'll be prepared. And then peppered all through these two chapters, he says the same thing over and over again. And so you have nothing to worry about. And the disciples are like, we have a lot to worry about just because of what you said. We look at ourselves and we're not ready for this. And so what Jesus really does in this text, whether he says it specifically, openly, or if it's between the lines, is he's building their confidence. And the first way he builds their confidence is says, stop looking at yourself. Okay? If you look at yourself, you're not going to be confident in doing what you're doing. Jesus says, I want you to see what I see. And when Jesus sees these people to whom he's sending his disciples, it says he sees them as sheep without a shepherd. He uses two adjectives in Greek. They are harassed and they are helpless. Now, those Greek words in terms of shepherds and shepherding mean this. To be harassed and not have a shepherd watching over you means you have no one to protect you. You are surrounded by dangers. You're running from one place to the other, trying to get away from danger and running into more danger, and eventually you become helpless. And what that really means is you become so worn out by running back and forth that you just lay down and give up. And Jesus' people, who he was looking at, the people who had come out to him, were harassed and helpless. They didn't have a shepherd. Well, technically they did. I mean, if you read the prophets, God sent many shepherds to these people. The Pharisees should be shepherding these people. It's not that they don't have shepherds, it's the shepherds aren't doing their job. And so they have to run from danger to danger to danger until finally a deep sense of foreboding and depression rises over them and they give up. They're giving up on life, certainly their lives. And Jesus is saying, I want you to open your eyes to these people. Look at the situation they're in. And then open your eyes to the opportunity that you have to help them. And again, Jesus says, and don't worry about it. Well, if I was a disciple at that point, I'd say, I have a lot to worry about. I mean, Jesus, you just called me a sheep, right? You said, I'm sending you out as a sheep among wolves. I'm a sheep. I'm not any different than these people I'm going out to help. They should be helping me. I'm harassed. I'm helpless. I'm afraid. I'm unprepared. How can I not worry? And then if you read a little further on in chapter 10, then Jesus really ramps up the worry. And he says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. No need to worry about that, right? And then he says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Prior to that, all the disciples were worried about is that they couldn't go out to these people and help them. But with these words, now they're worried about not being able to help themselves. There's nothing they can do. They're lost. Now, what Jesus does here is he tries to give them, build up their confidence. Now, my football team, we were confident. Certainly not because of how we looked. We looked ridiculous. We were confident because we knew who we were. We were prepared. And what Jesus says in these words, in so many words, in chapters 9 and 10, is he prepares them and gives them confidence and by opening their eyes to who they are. Number one, he says to the disciples, you are not like the people I'm sending you out to. They're harassed and they're helpless. You're not. You're not harassed. You're not helpless. You shouldn't be afraid because they don't have a shepherd. You do. And I'm the shepherd. So, number one, you're not sheep like these guys. And number two, you will endure until the end. Now, that word endure also means stand until the end. And whenever I think of that word and how it's used in other places, I think of the parable of the two builders. You have the wise builder, right? And then you have the foolish builder. Wise builder builds on rock. When storm comes, it's okay. Foolish builder builds on sand, and when the storm comes, it's washed away. Now, I got to tell you, that's a parable that never gave me a lot of confidence, right? Because I misread it for years, and I think a lot of people do. I read it this way. I'm the builder, and I need to build my house on the rock that is Jesus Christ and his good news. Problem is, of course, invariably, if you're anything like me, you tend to build your house upon the sand. And when the storm comes, it falls apart. It took me years to realize that the parables are primarily not about us. They're not moral lessons that we're supposed to follow. The parables are about God and about Jesus. They're the main characters, and they're the actors in the parables. Another thing, too, you have to read all of Scripture in context, including that parable. And when I look at that in context, I realize from everything the Bible says, I am not the person who builds my life and builds my salvation. Who does that? God does. And who's the foundation? Jesus Christ and his gospel. In other words, I'm not the builder, and I'm not the foundation, I'm the house. And from my experience, I did work for Laborers for Christ for 1 year and helped build a church. It was a building, and I noticed about that building, it didn't build itself. Okay? People had to do that. And so I am the house that the builder, God, has planted on the foundation of Jesus Christ. That's why I'll stand. I'm the house. I'm also the sheep. I'm not the one who sends the good shepherd. The good shepherd has been sent to me by the Father so to look after me. I'm the house, I'm the sheep, I'm also a disciple. That's who I am. I'm a disciple and I'm loved by God because of his love, because of his choice. And as the disciple, I'm sent out by God. And I'm sent out because I can help people, and so can you. Because we're not like the people to whom we're sent. We have a good shepherd, and we can help them by loving those who are unloved, by caring for those who've never known care, and by reaching out and introducing them to the good shepherd we know in our life. So we're not prepared by all the intelligence we have, the talents we have, none of these things. They all help a little bit. We also, by the way, are not prepared by having the power to raise people from the dead. That would be great. We're prepared because we know who we are. We are children of the Father because of the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. And because of we know who we are, we can bring Christ to these people. In Jesus' name, amen.